Okay. All right. Well, good morning, everybody. So my name is Stephen Taylor. I'm a PhD candidate in the Department of Crop and Soil Sciences at Washington State University. So today I'm going to talk a little bit about some work we've done on microplastic particles and their accumulation in biosolids or sewage sludge and in soils. So we're going to be talking about microplastics. We're going to take a little bit of a step up from like the nanoparticles, but we'll also address some of the nanoplastics in soils as well. So I want to start with my acknowledgments, just so I don't tack them on at the end. This research is funded through a collaboration between Pacific Northwest National Laboratories in Richland, Washington, and Washington State University. So a lot of my research will be done at the National Laboratory in Richland. My major advisor is Marcus Fleury at Washington State University. Carolyn Pierce is also on my committee. She's in the geosciences group at Pacific Northwest National Laboratories. Jim Harsh at WSU and Dr. Chowdhury. I also want to acknowledge Andy Berry. He's the senior research scientist at WSU Puyallup, and he's been really instrumental in putting together these biosolids, long-term biosolid studies that I'll talk about in this presentation. So a little bit of an outline what I'll do today. I'm going to do a brief, like, three-slide introduction into microplastics in soils. I'll go over my research objectives and my approach to those research objectives, and then we'll talk about the results that I have so far. So for my introduction, plastic pollution in marine ecosystems, it's kind of become almost a popular media topic now. A lot of people have heard of the idea of microplastic pollution in marine ecosystems. About a decade and 15 years ago, the researchers found microplastic particles in marine ecosystems, and that they were bioaccumulating in organisms and moving up the food chain. They also found that there's been a lot of research done on chemical pollutants that are absorbing to these microplastic particles and causing physiological effects in the marine ecosystems. One study showed that about one-third of the fish species that they had tested had microplastics in their physiology somewhere. But this is a soil science conference, so I'm going to talk about microplastics in soils. And the pathway that I'll talk about is from sewage, what I call the sewage, to sludge or biosolids, and then to soil. And so this is my very highly technically graph that I put together for you. First, the pathway is that from municipal sources, our sewage goes to wastewater treatment plants. And the current data shows that about 808 billion microplastic particles are entering wastewater treatment plants in the United States every day based on the volumes of water that they're processing. In those wastewater treatment plants, the solids are separated from the wastewater. The wastewater is treated, and it goes out as effluent. And in the effluent water, they found that about 1 to 5% of those incoming microplastic particles make it out in the effluent water and are deposited into surface water systems or just other marine ecosystems. The other 95 to 99% is collected in the solids or in the biosolids, treated, and then shipped and land applied either in forest or agriculture soil. So that puts us about 800 billion microbeads or microplastic particles maybe entering terrestrial ecosystems every day. So what I want to focus on is this 1 to 5%. That's where the vast majority of microplastic research has been done in marine ecosystems. But the other 95 to 99% of the microplastic particles are being land applied. So it may sound kind of cheesy, like an old Occupy Wall Street mantra, but what about the other 99%? And that's really where my research comes in. There are a few different sources of microplastics in soils. I'm focusing on sewage sludge, but there's also plastic mulching, which has become a big source of microplastic, or just plastic pollution in soil generally, street runoff, litter, flooding and irrigation, and atmospheric inputs into soils. The body of literature on microplastics in soils is extremely small. I think there's probably less than 10 publications total that deal with specifically microplastics in soils. What we do know so far is, first, that about 99% of the microplastics are being removed from the wastewater treatment plant and accumulating in the biosolids, as I mentioned before. There's also some research shows that microplastics have increased metal exposure in terrestrial invertebrates. That's a lot of time because of the additives to microplastics There's a lot of metal particles that are additives to plastics. Increased mortality in earthworms, transport by Columbian species, and transport of plastic particles by earthworms. One of my concerns with this small body of literature is that most of the research has focused on microplastic particles in the size range of hundreds of micrometers, but nobody's really looked at microplastic particles that are smaller than 100 micrometers, and so that's part of the information gap that I'm hoping to fill with my research. So now getting to my specific research objectives, first I want to develop methods for extraction and quantification of microplastic particles, and specifically on 100 micrometers and smaller in soils. Second, we then want to quantify how much microplastic is accumulating in biosolids and in agriculture soils that have had biosolids applied as a fertilizer source over the past 20 years, so for a long-term study. And then third, I want to evaluate whether microplastic particles are being taken up by plant roots, and that's kind of in a preliminary effort to get at the fate of these microplastic particles. So our experimental approach, we have influent water, effluent waters, and then biosolids from a wastewater treatment plant. We also have biosolids amended soils, agricultural soils in our case. And then we do a chemical extraction and a density separation to remove the plastic from the soil. Again, a lot of research has been done in marine sediments where they're removing it from mineral fraction, and there's been separate research done on removing plastics from organisms or organic matter. But bringing those two methods together, marrying them, and then testing the efficiency of that really hasn't been done, and so that's a large part of our research. Then we'll use microscopic energy dispersive spectroscopy and then FTIR to identify the microplastics and hopefully get at quantification a little bit. And then our third objective, basically we're just growing plants in auger that has polystyrene beads at different sizes, ranging from 50 nanometers, 1 micrometer, and 100 micrometers. Grow the plants, and then we'll use confocal microscopy to try to find these microbeads and see if they're getting into the plant tissue. So here now we'll start talking about some of the results that we have so far. This is the sampling that we did, the influent sampling. This is in the South King County Wastewater Treatment Plant in Washington State. So you can imagine this is raw influent, so the smell here is great. I want you all to go to that place with me. It smells really good. The effluent sampling, so we have effluent water. We also have biosolid sampling. So these are the trucks that the biosolids are accumulated in and then shipped over to Eastern Washington. And from this wastewater treatment plant specifically, 100% of the biosolids are land applied in forest soils or in agricultural soils. So that's where they're shipped from Renton, Washington, over to Douglas County. And in Douglas County, we have a long-term study that's been done starting in 1994 that has looked at a lot of the nutrient dynamics of biosolid application. And what I'm really lucky is that they have archived soil samples of all of those years and all the studies that they've done. So part of my research is to look at the archived soil samples that we have over the past 20 years and look at plastic accumulation over that time. I did some preliminary SEM on four plastic microbeads, trying to identify them, took a toothpaste and the Equate face wash, just went to Walmart and bought a couple, and looked at these plastic microbeads. Again, what this highlights is the range in size. We've got particles at about 1 micrometer in size up to half a millimeter or 500 micrometers in size in the face wash. These are some images we took from biosolids where we had run them through a filter. And then you can see these spherical particles ranging in size from 4 micrometers up to 12 micrometers in these images. This is effluent water on your left, influent on the right, again spherical beads. One of the issues with these with SEM is that we can find these spherical particles, but we can't confirm that they are polymers, that they're plastic polymers. So then we move to SEM with energy dispersive X-ray detectors, and verified this. So these are 1 micrometer polystyrene beads on the left, and the X-ray spectrum on the right, what you can see is a really high carbon to oxygen ratio. And so this is our technique to identify the particles that we do find as plastic polymers. So this is an image that we took of some filtered biosolids. with two different particles. The one on the top, you can see there's about a 1-to-1 carbon to oxygen ratio, so that's a particle that we would look at and say that's likely not a plastic polymer. Where on the left we have a higher carbon to oxygen ratio, we can say okay, that's likely a plastic polymer. These are our techniques. Getting into our third objective, we want to evaluate whether microplastic particles are being taken up by plants. And again, this is in a preliminary effort to get at the fate of these microplastic particles. So what we did is grew some squash plants. These are squash on the plants on the right in auger with growth medium and then fluorescent polystyrene beads, again ranging in size from 50 nanometers up to 100 micrometers. We used confocal laser scanning microscope to look at the roots, the stems, and the leaf vasculature. And what I'll show you today, I wish you could see it a little bit better with the lights, but on the far left you have squash roots in auger, and this is just a control. So what you don't see in this image is a bunch of really bright blue beads. And then squash root auger, and the picture, the image in the center and on the far right, those were grown in 50 nanometer in auger with 50 nanometer polystyrene beads. And again, what you don't see is beads or blue fluorescent beads in these images. This one, hopefully, you'll be able to see a little bit better. This is a squash root grown in auger with 1 micrometer polystyrene beads. And what I did is I took a Z stack, and then I was able to create a three-dimensional image and then make a little bit of a video of that. So I'll show you that. And what you can see as I start showing that, you can see those blue beads, those are the 1 micrometer polystyrene beads that are fluorescing in the confocal microscope. And now we can start to explore where these beads are. And what we found is that while we can see them and they're around the root, they're not actually inside the root cells. And so that's what this Z-stack was allowed us to do, is kind of explore where they are in the root, and found that they're actually not in the root system. So just in conclusion, first, we have high carbon to oxygen ratio particles indicate that there are plastics in biosolids, and that the size range does start at about 1 micrometer from what we've been able to see, and larger, and much larger than that. Second, quantification and extraction remain a challenge. The marriage of these density separations and then chemical extractions has yet to be tested and show that the extraction efficiencies are high. There has been some extraction efficiency research done on particles, again, in the 100 micrometer range, and they found that we can use density separation to remove particles at about 99% efficiency. We have some preliminary research that shows that once you get down in the 1 micrometer range, that extraction efficiency goes down to 50 to 30%, and so it's really low. And that could be an issue in underestimating the amount of microplastic pollution in soils. And third, we have no evidence of polystyrene microbead uptake by plants so far. So that's what I have. Hopefully that's enough time for questions, concerns, any things you'd like to see us do. That'd be great. Great to hear.
Yes, so
Yeah, well, what we can see, the issue with the 50 nanometer beads with the confocal is that the resolution of the confocal microscope isn't able to see individual beads, but only if they're accumulating or concentrating in areas. So I have seen areas around the leaf, just like you saw, around the root, just like you saw, where they are accumulating. But it's a little bit harder to see with the 1 micrometer beads because they're so small and they're not concentrating in certain areas. So I would assume the same thing is happening. But yeah.
Is there any evidence of preferential attachment to the root in any way?
Not that I've seen, not that I've read. What you saw, the image that you saw, was after a wash with a salt solution. So I don't have any evidence of that. We have yet to test it. So.
Have you ever thought about the any natural the effect of the attachment of the macro or the plastic on this little service will, you know, on the little function?
Yes, so we've thought about it, and in our mind that's kind of the next step from a root physiology perspective. The next step would be, can we identify them? Are they preferentially adsorbing to the root surfaces and perhaps interfering with some of the nutrient uptake by the plants? But again, our first step now is just identification, and can we actually quantify, are they there, and are they accumulating around the root surface? And again, we don't have answers to that yet.
Do you see anything on the root hairs?
Yes, we see the root hairs, and we see the beads around the root hairs, surrounding the root hairs. Yeah, they're there. Yeah.
Have you been able to identify the sources where it's coming from?
So we can identify the types of plastics. At larger sized particles, so particles that are about using Raman spectroscopy or FTIR spectroscopy, you can identify the type of plastic that it is. Unfortunately, you need larger particle sizes using those microscopic techniques, so getting down to the 1 micrometer size gets a little bit more difficult. But at the larger particle size, you can identify the types of plastics, like polystyrene, polyethylene. The issue then comes, so where does that polyethylene come from, the polystyrene? And we don't know, we can make assumptions, cosmetic microbeads or clothing fibers and things like that. We know those are sources of microplastics and biosolids. But identifying a specific, you know, tracing a specific particle back to a source presents a lot of challenges that we have been able to overcome.
Thank you very much.
Yes, definitely.